Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus. Amen. Our text this morning is a Holy Gospel lesson, and especially the words of the lady who said, "If I only touch his garments, I will be made well." Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, touch means a lot to us. If we are close to someone, we'd like to touch. There's something about it. There's something tender about it, inviting. And when you see two people, young people, at a football game holding hands, it's getting the start of something meaningful, hopefully, for them. That's touch. Touch has all different kinds of interpretations, all different kinds of meaning for us. And it's much more important to some areas of life than it is other areas of life. If you're a blind person or have trouble, Braille and learning how to touch, you learn a sensitivity that the rest of us don't have, because you learn from dots what the words mean. It's a special touch. Today our story is about a special touch. It's about what happens when you touch Jesus and what happens when he lets you touch him. After all, he's God. He's God in flesh, but he's still God. And so the people would come to see him, and they would not only listen to his teaching because he was a rabbi and they trusted him, but they also knew he did all these miracles. He kind of turned the world upside down. He started out with turning water into wine, of all things, and he went from there, and there was no stopping him, casting out demons and being criticized for it, being called the king of demons, if that's what you're going to do around here. There was always a critic, there was always somebody to put him down, but his touch carried through because he was Jesus. And the touch of Jesus is everything. So we have this story of this lady and her difficulty in life. We have all kinds of modern circumstances of people who run out of problems, run out of ability to solve their problems simply because the physicians cannot understand what it is. We probably all know somebody who they had some illness, they had something, but it wasn't figured out. So they went from physician to physician, and finally they started going from country to country, and finally they spent all their money and they weren't any better off. My brother has Parkinson's, and he went to Europe for a stem cell replacement. I'm not sure it made him any better off. There are some things that work and some things that don't work, and that's the created order, the fallen created order in which we live, in which we thank God for all of the gifts of medicine and all the gifts of science which he has revealed to us so that we can understand the human body as much as possible. But there are still things we don't get. There's still things that were beyond us. There's still things that remind us again, we need something that is above us because we're just human beings and we can only go so far and then we hit the wall. And the wall can be different for any of us, but this woman, that was her problem. She hit the wall. Now she's out of money. Now she feels worse than she did before she started. And along came Jesus. She's not the only one that hits the wall in life. As a nation, this last week, we saw the Capitol Gazette, that someone came in and used a shotgun and killed 5 people. We say, how do we stop that? And everybody in their own discipline says, this is the way to stop it. Mental health, say, yep, we have to teach more mental health. We have to teach anger management. Others may say, well, maybe we have to stop those video games that are done. So with some people, they get into their body and finally they become a way of life if that's day and night, you know? Maybe we have to teach people that vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Maybe we have to teach people what God says about life and the 5th commandment, you shall not kill. We should not even hurt or harm our neighbor in any way. But the sanctity of life, or the fact that we are not just the highest animal. We're made in the image of God originally. We're God's people, created, then redeemed, and we're special because God decided us to be special. He calls his people out of darkness into light, and he takes those who are dead and raises up to life. And in the midst of life, he hears the prayers of every individual, and he says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. So this lady thinks, you know, maybe this will work. Because along came Jesus. And of course, there was a crowd. There was a crowd, and this was going to be different than the other cures she had. The Talmud, the old Hebrew writing said, you know, we have all kinds of cures for this type of illness, and they had 11 different cures, and they're mostly superstitions and tonics and things. And one of them says, well, you burn ostrich feathers, ostrich eggs, and you burn them and take that, put that in the sack and then carry it around, you know. Things that we would say, well, that's just superstition. That's not medicine as we know it. But if I just touch, she knew she hit the wall. When you hit the wall, and you don't know and understand why life is the way it is, why we have a society that goes awry in pockets, what does it all mean? How do we put it all together? And when we hit the wall, that's when we're reminded, we need the touch of Jesus. We need the touch of God. We need God to care about our plight and the things we don't understand and the things that are incurable. We need him to whisk us out of here, to take us to himself if that's what it is, or to heal us as he promises to hear our prayers and guide the doctors and guide the nurses and guide the people who are able to help us, or just give us a miracle if he chooses, according to his will. We go to Jesus because we're against the wall. But we also go because his touch heals. Doesn't make a difference what your problem is in life. His touch always heals. He's Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who stooped down and said, let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to them. He's a compassionate Jesus who has the power to still storms and say the disciples, you know, sit there in awe because they're in the boat and the water's coming over the side, and finally he says, be still. And the storm stops. He's Jesus. But touching and letting that woman touch him was what he let happen that day, because according to his human nature, he's just a man walking around. According to his divine nature, he still knows everything. So when he turns around and says, who touched me? He knew that. But in his human nature, he lets himself be as a man, so that we might relate to him and understand that he's not so far above us as not to hear our prayers, as not to know the angst and the despair and the frustration that we feel in life when our society just messes around with violence and doesn't understand how this all puts together, how we make a more peaceable group of people. When we have that wall, only he can do that. The people kept finding him because they knew he healed. And Jairus comes from the synagogue and says, you know, my daughter's dying. Come and lay hands on her so that she might live. Come and touch her, Lord. Your touch will make all the difference. And so Jesus goes on his way to Jairus' house, and that's when this lady comes up in the crowd, because there's always a crowd there. There was always a crowd of people. It's hard for us to imagine it, because when we read the scripture, we read about the disciples being there and about Jesus teaching people, but we don't get the concept of the massive crowd pushing in. Why were they pushing in? You know, at one point Jesus said, go ahead and prepare a boat and put it out in the water so that I can teach the people, because I can't teach them. They're all pushing in on me, and it's just a crowd. You know what happens when you have crowd? Crowd control. You don't have crowd control. They wanted to touch him because they knew what happened when you touched Jesus. And they knew what happened when he touched you. So Jesus goes with Jairus. He's walking along, and finally he feels his power go out of him. Therefore, he stops and says, who touched me? Time stood still. This is the compassionate Jesus, the one who not only heals, but uses his power as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to turn around and address the lady in need. Everything else can wait. Going to Jairus' daughter can wait. The disciples can wait. The disciples say, hey, Lord, what do you mean who touched you? We have this crowd. They're all trying to touch you. What do you mean somebody touched you? He said, nah. And then the lady, full of fear and trembling, came and knelt before him and told him what had happened. How she had gone from doctor to doctor, and it never worked. And now she was out of money. And he said to her, you know, your faith has made you well. Now we know that the touch of Jesus makes people well. It's unusual that he would say your faith has made you well. But you know, as a believer, if you want something, you have to ask for it. A lot of times we never ask. The Bible says we don't have because you don't ask. So when you have a health problem, do you take it to the Lord and ask for healing? If you believe God heals, I believe he heals. You know, the Bible says in the Psalms, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your diseases, who forgives all your iniquities, and who heals all your diseases. God heals. If you've had surgery, you pay the surgeon, and you thank God. And before the surgery, you ask God, give me a successful surgery and heal me that I may go on being your servant. That's all I want to do, is be your servant. God heals. When he's all done healing, he will take us to himself and give us a new body, because the Bible says he will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. You get to start over. That's the kind of compassionate, caring, understanding, decisive, powerful God that we have in the Christ. That touch of Jesus. No wonder the people crowded up just to touch, just to get a little touch. Just. The leper came up to him and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, I will. And he touched his eyes and said, be clean. It's the touch of Jesus. And we trust that touch, but it's important that we reach out. Your faith has saved you. That we reach out to have God touch us. Coming here to the into this circle, we come together to have God touch us with his holy word, with his Holy Spirit, laying Jesus again into our hearts, helping us to repent of our sins, to be realistic about life, and to look at ourselves and to look at him and to think what a great thing it is just to be a follower of our Lord. We come here because he promises to be among us. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, and it looks as though we have a quorum. Thank you, dear. That's my wife. It looks as though we have a quorum. Yes, we do. So he is among the people of God, but also in the Holy Communion. He comes to touch us. It reminds me of Isaiah 6, when Isaiah looked up and he saw these seraph, you know, and the holy, 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 and they're talking, they're singing to each other, you know, the gracious type of things that happen in the kingdom of heaven. And he sees all this, and he says, hey, I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. Maybe a violent people, I don't know. A people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord. And then one of the seraphs took a coal from the altar, and it touched my lips. And the seraph said, with the touch of God, your sins are forgiven, and you are made whole. That's all we want today, to come back and ask God to be merciful, that we need to understand or to comprehend or just to rest in his grace and his power. That we all hit a wall, that we all have problems that are very difficult for us and very deep for us, and we have this health thing that goes on. And as we say in the Lord's Prayer, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and part of daily bread, Luther says, is health. That he continues to heal us, watch over us, care for us, and grant us his grace. But the most important part is that he grants us forgiveness in himself. For our Lord, when he suffered on the cross, was compassionate. And when he sent the Holy Spirit, was caring about us. And when he instituted the Holy Communion, was concerned about the touch. And still is a man who waits for us to call, and he will answer, and in whom we can rest secure. So let us ask for God's grace on this day and grant that in his name we may continue to know his touch and his forgiveness and his love. Amen. We confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.